Last year, I began hinting that we'd do more Market Cap Game Show in 2024. We'll call it a New Year's resolution, and we're fulfilling on this one. This week, next week, and the week after make up our first ever March Market Cap Madness. A final four of past champions coming back to compete this March for our 2024 National Championship, the Market Cap Game Show National Championship. That's right. We have our own March Madness on this podcast, our final four this year. Andy Cross, Emily Flippin, Bill Mann, and Matt Argesinger. And this week features Andy Cross and Emily Flippin. And you. That's right, you're playing too. You and any friends you may be competing against on your own this week. You will also generate a final score from 0 to 10. Can you outscore my talented contestants? It's March, Market Cap Madness, only on this week's Rule Breaker Investing.
It's the Rule Breaker Investing Podcast with Motley Fool co-founder David Gardner.
Welcome back to Rule Breaker Investing. What a wonderful week it was last week with my friends Jason Moore, Dave Gack, Jum, Jason Trice, the venerable Adam Nelson, Mike McMahon, and Jason Newman. A really special campfire of longtime fellow fools, a delight to show them off the kind of wisdom you should come to expect from fellow fools, especially vintage fellow fools. Reminds me of just being in a Motley Fool gathering and how much I enjoy meeting new and old fools. So thank you again to the Mailbag 100 crew. I'm joined this week by Market Cap Game Show past champions Andy Cross and Emily Flippin. And of course, the third player, to us the most important, is you. That's right, you, our dear fellow fool. Let me just briefly remind, especially new listeners, new players, I'll be mentioning a stock. Neither Andy nor Emily knows what stock is coming. I'll turn to one of them to start talking about whatever stock they didn't know was coming, and that fool will do their best to state a numerical range within which the market cap falls. The other contestant, and you playing at home, will simply say, I agree, meaning it's accurate, the stock's value falls inside the stated range, or I disagree, I think it's outside that stated range. So you simply agree or disagree, and if you get it right, give yourself a plus one. That's the Market Cap Game Show. We're focused on the real market caps for real stocks. Nobody knows what's coming. A perfect score would be 10. Andy Cross works on Stock Advisor, Backstage, and with my brother Tom Gardner on his everlasting services like Hidden Gems. He's also our chief investment officer, helping our Motley Fool investment teams produce the best guidance and experience for you, our members and listeners. Andy, welcome.
Yeah, hi, David. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Andy, kind of a personal question for you. I've done this before in the show. We'll do it later in the show as well. Are you ready?
I am ready. Go ahead.
How have you done your taxes over the years?
Well, now I'm all Intuit TurboTax for going on 12 years now. Before that, I used a family accountant friend, but then I realized that that family accountant friend was charging us a lot more money than TurboTax would charge us. And so now, with all the information they have and all the tools at my fingertips for TurboTax, I find it quite effective.
Yeah, and if you've been doing it for 10 plus years, that is its own habit and something that would be hard to break, especially because it sounds like it's working for you.
And because Jamie was using my wife was using TurboTax as well, and they kind of just seamlessly brought them together. So that's very, very helpful and a lot less stressful and costly, I think, with using external folks.
You've already mentioned stock number one. You might have been expecting this given how we started the conversation. Stock number one is Intuit, ticker symbol INTU. Yes, Quicken back in the day, that's how I think about it. That's how I first met Intuit. It was, you know, an off-the-shelf product in Babbage's or Eggheads or some soft, like bricks and mortar software retail store. But certainly, obviously, adding in TurboTax and other aspects of the business. And adding in QuickBooks over the years, Mint. This is a, spoiler alert, this is a big company. And oh my gosh, is that the throwdown sound? Yes, it's a throwdown round on stock number one. Now, to remind our players at home, both Andy and Emily will now write down their market cap range for Intuit. Pencils out, fools? Okay, and all you have to do as a player at home is, once Andy and Emily state their market caps, decide which you want to go with. So, does Andy's range seem more plausible to you, or does Emily's? And if you guess right, give yourself a point. And by the way, there's a chance they'll both be right, especially if they use wide ranges. If they're both right, the tighter range wins the point. And if they're both wrong, well, that would never happen. But if it ever did, whoever's closer to the actual market cap would get that plus one. Again, this is a throwdown. We do this twice every show. I want to thank again Sam Sudden Death Stevens for this good thought and improvement to our game show. This is a throwdown, stock number one, Intuit. Andy, I'm going to turn to you first. What is your market cap range for Intuit?
I have $160 billion, David and Emily, to $220 billion.
$160 billion to $220 billion. Emily Flippin, what is your stated market cap range for Intuit?
Well, the good news for the listeners is that there's a very, very small chance that we overlap. My market cap range is $120 billion to $169 billion.
All right. So listeners at home, say it right now. It's either Andy or Emily. 3, 2, 1. All right. You said it. And if you said Andy, give yourself a plus one. Emily, not bad. Close. But it's $177.9 billion. So near the top of your range, but solidly within Andy's slightly more generous. He gave himself a little bit more generosity on his range, 160 to 220. Andy, did you feel like you had that one nailed from the get-go?
Well, I actually wrote down at first, David, what did you say the market cap was, 179.9?
177.9.
Because I first wrote down 140 to 180.
Ooh.
So I would have been just at the very, like, would have missed it if I had shrunk a little bit. So no, I figured somewhere between 100 and 200, and I just guessed a little on the higher side.
Well done, Andy. By the way, how much did you save by moving from a guy to software?
Well, it's at least, I would think, $100 per year. So doing that over, you know, a couple decades, called at least 10 to 15 years, you invest that into the S&P 500, which is annualized 11% per year real return. So that's backing out inflation. Had I invested into that money I saved from switching to Intuit, I would have a nice little piggyback fill of cash, which is nice.
And the software keeps up with you, Andy. I'm assuming, like, I haven't used TurboTax in a long time myself, but I assume it pre-enters your name each time. You don't have to retype in stuff.
Oh, well, that's the real beauty and the value of it. And it, as my life has gotten financially a little bit more complex with kids and all that, it just keeps up with that, and I've added solutions onto there. Now, of course, I tie in lots of different services there that I don't use, but it's all there, and I find it very valuable. And by the way, I've not yet done my taxes this year, so I'm a little behind the curve, so I have to get going with this. A nice little reminder. Thank you.
A little bit of separate March Madness for you, Andy Frost. Okay, let's move on to stock number two. Emily Flippin works on the Stock Advisor and Blast Off teams here at The Motley Fool, aiming to find great growth-oriented investments for our members. In addition, she plugs in fun content for our members like podcasts, like, for example, this one, as well as works as a manager on our investment team. Emily, great to have you back.
Hey, good to be here. I am a little bit worried about my showing after the last question, but the good news that I think listeners always forget about the Market Cap Game Show is there's a psychological component to this game, too. So, you know, I'm looking at Andy, I'm measuring his level of confidence, and while I might not know the answer, I can get a good read about where Andy might go, and I think that'll help me.
I think Emily is far superior at that skill than I am, so.
All right, let's hope she brings it to bear here for stock number two. Emily, you appeared most recently on television on, was it the 45th season of Survivor?
It was, and if you haven't watched it yet, I encourage you skip episode one, start with episode two.
Nice. We may talk about that a little bit later, but for now, you were occasionally hungry.
Occasionally. I did go 2 weeks without eating anything, so it depends on your definition of occasionally.
Could you explain exactly what it's like to go 2 weeks without eating anything?
Way easier than you think it's going to be. I had never gone a full day without eating prior to this experience. And when you're not surrounded by food and you don't have the option to eat, it's amazing how little time you spend thinking about it.
Did you ever have dreams of food? Like, I don't know, Stouffer's mac and cheese? Was there a craving, a specific one at any point?
Yes. The one thing that I remember myself and my tribe mates coming back to was Chipotle bowls. Everybody just wanted to sit down with a big steak Chipotle bowl. It had the good combination of the guacamole, the protein, the carbs. That was the thing that everybody craved.
And phenomenally and coincidentally, ticker symbol CMG is stock number two. Wow. I randomize this every game show from the 500 stocks of greatest interest to our members, what I think of as our Fool 500. Lesser known than the S&P 500, but I love our Fool 500, and I randomized this one, and you went right there. So let's stay there, Emily Flip. And the ticker symbol for Chipotle Mexican Grill is CMG. Emily, what is your stated market cap range for Chipotle Mexican Grill?
I think there's a lot of former Survivor contestants that are keeping this chain afloat. But I know they sell a lot of bowls to everybody of all types and all walks of life. And for that reason, I'm going to give them a range of 60 to 70 billion.
60 to 70 billion. Andy Cross, players at home. Andy, before you agree or disagree, do you eat at Chipotle?
Oh, yes. Yes. By the way, the Chipotle app is
phenomenal.
Pretty good.
It is phenomenal, and maybe it's worth an extra, I don't know, bill here or there in the market cap. We'll find out what you think. Do you want to, Emily said 60 to 70 billion, big round numbers. Do you want to agree or disagree?
Well, it was very quick, and it's a tight range, I think. So I think I'm going to disagree. I think she's generally okay, but I'm going to disagree with that range.
And if you agree with Andy, give yourself another plus one. She was close once again. Chipotle, by the way, we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon, March 5th. All of the market caps are down a little bit this day. But this is all up to date as of, if you're listening on Wednesday when this comes out, yesterday afternoon, when Chipotle weighed in at $74.5 billion, which is quite close, Emily, to your $60 to $70 billion range. But Andy said outside. Listeners at home, if you also said outside, give yourself a plus one. Right now, Andy has a lead of 2-0. Emily, I see, obviously, you're upset. I mean, it's going to come naturally to someone as competitive as you are.
Well, I'm more upset that Andy can read me like a book, apparently, because I was not overly confident about this market cap. But I thought, well, surely after my commentary and that nice tight range I gave, surely he would agree with me. Now my entire strategy for this game show has gone out the door.
Well, you still have a lot of time to come back. And again, listeners at home, you might be at 0, 1, or 2, but let's keep plussing up from here. By the way, fun fact, Chipotle has never split its stock. It first came to Motley Fool Rule Breakers thanks to the ingenious Rick Munarez, who picked this stock. Here's the cost basis, friends and fellow fools, $60.60. That's easy to remember. That's why I remember it. I remember easy to remember things. 60.60, so with the stock weighing in just over $2,700 today, it's been a fantastic investment for Motley Fool members, especially those early days of Rule Breakers, just buying and holding. All right, on to company number three. Andy, what do you make of activist investors?
I note them. I don't put much stock in, pun intended, much stock in what they are trying to do, because often I think it is more short-term focus as opposed to really long-term value creation.
And I suppose because we always have new listeners, and I hope people who are new to the stock market, maybe the phrase activist investor doesn't mean something to everyone. Could you briefly define what we mean when we start talking about activist investors?
Sure. It's an investor who takes a position in a stock or has a position in a company and uses that position, sometimes very small positions, and they use that to try to leverage influence with the board of directors, make a change in the governance, change in strategy, change in leadership, whatever it might be. But they start a campaign, and they usually try to combine and partner with other investors to exert influence over the company.
Well defined. Andy, briefly, give us like what they are at their best and then what they are when they're at their worst.
Well, I think I'll start with the worst. It's when they have very small positions and they have very loud voices and their history is either non-existent or they have more of a history of trying to earn short-term profits and then exiting positions after they've made or tried to make some changes one way or the other. So that's probably at its worst, I think. At its best, it's someone who maybe owns a lot of shares in a stock, a meaningful amount, especially if it is a meaningful amount of their overall net worth or their overall position, and they have a much more partnership mentality to owning and growing the businesses rather than trying to make short-term changes.
Excellent. So there's a quick chapter entry under the glossary activist investors for our Rule Breaker Investing listeners. Thank you, Andy Cross. What if I told you that a Dow Jones Industrial Average company, so one of the 30 components of that venerable index, what if I told you that with the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 175%, which is exactly what it's up over the past 10 years, one of those companies is actually down 30% over the last 10 years. First of all, do you have any idea which company I'm thinking of?
I do.
Guess.
Disney.
That is not the one. But I am disappointed as a longtime Disney shareholder to reflect on that and think about that. And I'm not sure whether you know that or you were just guessing at that, but it's been an up and down 10 years.
Yes, it has been.
For the big mouse.
Yeah, and there's a lot of action going on right now as Emily and I and others on the team, stock advisor team, and other teams talk about this at the board level with other activist shareholders.
Okay. Well, Disney has been a fantastic long-term holding for me personally, and I think for many listening, if you've held it for a long time, back to the Pixar days, the Marvel buyout, et cetera. But this company I picked in Stock Advisor, I'm just checking it, September 15th, 2017. It's been about cut in half since then. Now, as a block, maybe if we pooled all of our Motley Fool Stock Advisor members together and started acting up like activists, we might actually be able to force a change. Do you think that the 3M company is due for some change?
Oh boy, 3M has been a really underperformer, which is unfortunate because when you go back and think about, gosh, 100, I don't know how long 3M has been around, but it's more than 100 years, I believe.
Correct.
I think you think about innovation, you think about all of the amount of products they have created in lots of different industries. That innovation just has seemed to be almost vanished when it comes to the value of the market. And of course, now they have lots of different challenges on the legal side.
Okay. Five businessmen, by the way, founded the Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing Company as a mining venture. It was in Two Harbors, Minnesota, never been. They made their first sale on, Wikipedia says, June 13th, 1902. So that's 121 plus years ago. Yeah, it started as mining. And of course, one of the M's continues this day to be the word mining, even though most of us just say 3M and the ticker symbol is MMM. Andy Cross, what is your stated market cap range for this long-term underperformer that I'm kind of sorry I picked in 2017? They make me look a little sorry.
I'm going to say for 3M, unfortunately, I will say somewhere between $35 billion and $55
billion. $35 billion to $55 billion, players at home, and Emily Flippin, agree or disagree? And before you say, give us a sentence or two of insider thought, your reaction to 3M.
Well, first of all, this is a business I should know the market cap of, because as somebody who works on the stock advisor team, we do circle back on this pick fairly frequently, David. It's not in our penalty box right now. It's still on the scorecard, but it's persistent underperformance. And I think a general lack of conviction, I don't know if it's from the management team or just from the feeling that our analysts have behind the business. I mean, I think there's a belief that maybe there's not vision, a long-term vision for the company the way there once was. That being said, when I heard you say 3M, my mind immediately said maybe 50 to 60 billion, which means that Andy's range, it has me a little bit uncomfortable. The safe thing to do would be to agree with Andy, but I think he might have gone too small here, and I think I'm going to have to disagree. Oh, no. Can I take it back? Can I rewind 30
seconds?
There are
no do-overs in the Market Cap Game Show. Andy had it right. Now, he did give himself a fair amount of birth, and you were right to have that initial instinct that he might have had it right. 3M tipping the scales at $51.3 billion today. So, Andy, speaking of threes, you've taken a 3-0 lead with 3M.
Wow, that I didn't even trust my own self on that range there, Emily. So again, yes, because we both work on Stock Advisor, but just sometimes you don't necessarily think in market. Sometimes you think in price. Sometimes you think in market cap.
We want you to think about market cap all the time.
I should, if I know now there's going to be the annual March Madness and I'm competing for it. So so I surprised myself a little bit. I'm happy, but as I said it, I thought no, I'm too high.
And to my knowledge, there is no present activist investor, but it's the kind of company that might be due for extra scrutiny because it is a big, long-term American enterprise that has had many a proud day, and yet checking back and seeing that 175% gain in the Dow Jones over the last 10 years and 3M going the opposite direction, losing a third of its value? ... All right, on to stock number four, Emily Flippin. You're a Texas native.
I am.
Were you born in Texas?
I was actually born in D.C., but raised in Texas.
Oh, my gosh. So I
probably just angered a lot of real Texas natives by answering yes to that question.
So you weren't born in Texas, but a lot of great things were born in Texas, and you spent most of your life thus far in Texas. Emily, what are some other things born in Texas or associated with Texas that you're proud of?
I mean, obviously, Longhorns come to mind, beautiful pastures and fields, but more importantly, a nice, juicy steak. I think I know where this might be going.
You might think that, but it may not be headed there. But we are going to stay in Texas and talk about something born in Texas. The date was March 9th, 1967. And I don't know whether Herb Kelleher at the time foresaw one day he would be in charge of a public company. And as Southwest Airlines founder, I don't know. I assume Herb picked the ticker symbol LUV, which is one of the more distinctive ticker symbols you will find on any index. And it's not even about, I don't know, healthcare or gifts. This is an airline. Southwest Airlines has been a stellar performer for much of its history, although in recent years, maybe not so much. But who cares about that? All we really care about, Emily Flippin, is born in Texas. The market cap range for Southwest Airlines, ticker symbol LUV.
I haven't the first clue for Southwest. And I'm okay saying that because Andy looks somewhat cocky. Well, I say that he's grimacing. He looked cocky when he started talking about Southwest, which leads me to believe he probably knows the answer. My psychological games aren't working anyway, so I could use this time to try to justify and buy myself minutes. I'm trying to think about Alaska Airlines or Hawaiian Airlines, both of which are on the Stock Advisor scorecard, both of which are smaller than I think you might assume they are. Airlines have really big names. But when it comes to the physical assets themselves, I think it just naturally lean a little bit smaller than you might assume. So I'm going to, at the risk of either grossly overestimating or grossly underestimating, take a middle ground approach to Southwest Airlines and say, I think this is a $3 to $7 billion company.
All right. $3 billion to $7 billion. Players at home, Andy Cross, do you want to agree or to disagree?
I will disagree with that.
You didn't really hesitate, Andy. What's going on in your head with this one?
Well, I think this is somewhere in the high teens to low 20 on the billion mark.
$20.53 billion to take it out to an extra decimal point. So, Andy, you have taken a commanding 4-0.
I'm just waiting for my comeback at the end. Don't worry. I'm, playing the long game.
Emily, have you flown Southwest back and forth from, I don't know, Dallas to Washington, D.C.?
I have. I'm more of a Spirit flyer myself, though. Mm.
As long as we're talking about airlines, Andy, what's your favorite airline?
Southwest. Although, I do like British Airways.
Thank you. And you're up 4-0, so you got that going for you, too. All right, let's move on. Slight spoiler alert here. Let's move on to something much lesser known. Andy, have you ever been to Bermuda?
No.
I don't think Southwest Airlines flies there.
I don't know. I've never been there, so I've never tried.
Now, you and I, kind of East Coasters, you grew up in the state of Pennsylvania. One of the fun things about Bermuda is it's not far off the East Coast.
No.
And it's kind of by itself out there.
And far more north than most people realize.
That's right. And as an island, it's never had snakes. It's an island that started without snakes, and to this day, to my knowledge anyway, no snakes on Bermuda.
Wow. Even in today's age, with all the trade, no snakes have managed to weasel their way onto the board of some ship?
It's true. And it's beautiful. I think with our family, we've been there 3 or 4 times over the years. So I highly recommend it to everyone listening. Andy, I know close to nothing about this next company. Maybe you do too, but I think this is within the sphere of services that you've worked on. So the Bank of N.T. Butterfield and Son. I mean, I didn't even know there was a public company that had that name. The ticker symbol, by the way, is NTB for N.T. Butterfield. I see you both smiling. I'm not quite sure why.
Well, I have not thought about NTB unfortunately, probably about a year, but we have recommended it over during the last 4 or 5 years. Tom and I and some other analysts who did use to follow it, and so we know of it from its Bermuda kind of days, but haven't kept up to speed with it in the past.
Got it. I mean, I know next to nothing about this company, but Wikipedia is one of my best friends, and most people just call it Butterfield or Butterfield Bank. It is technically the Bank of N.T. Butterfield and Son Limited. It was founded, I see here, in 1858, so it's had a lot of time to compound its market cap, presumably, but more important, Andy Cross, what is your stated market cap range for Butterfield Bank, ticker symbol NTB?
I don't think it's compounded all that much over the years, I will say. So I'm going to say 2 to 3.3 billion dollars.
$2 to $3.3 billion. Emily Flippin, had you heard of Butterfield Bank before today's show?
I hadn't, but now I'm wondering if I should have.
And I'm wondering how this multi-generational bank has escaped our notice for 150 years.
And I'm assuming this bank is based in Bermuda.
It is.
With main operations in Bermuda.
Yeah. And I wonder, I love family companies. I love multi-generational family companies. I hope we're creating one here at the Motley Fool. I assume this is probably, maybe Andy knows, is this still under control of any fifth generation Butterfielders?
Yeah, I honestly don't recall.
We don't know that much about ticker symbol NTB, but I know this much. Andy said $2 billion to $3.3 billion. Emily Flippin, let's see if you can get on the scoreboard here. Do you want to agree or disagree with Andy?
So my first instinct was Bermuda's a small country. This is a company I've never heard of before. So it can only be such a compounder to your previous point. But on the flip side, Andy's market cap range was much higher than I was expecting. And there's a lot of companies that are headquartered in Bermuda. So maybe their Bermuda banking scene is a lot more developed than I'm giving it credit for. But because my first instinct was to think less than $2 billion, I'm going to have to perhaps ignorantly disagree.
Score one for Emily Flippin, who will also find out that it's a British overseas territory, just so you know. So,
oh,
yeah. So it's
wonderful.
Actually just part of, yeah, it's part of the UK.
Quiz me on geography either, apparently.
If you just start going east from North Carolina, it's off the coast of North Carolina, if you just go that direction. I didn't know this. It's an archipelago consisting of 181 islands, but at least for me, it's just one island, and it's a lovely destination. And the market cap of Butterfield Bank is $1.45 billion, so a little bit under Andy's market cap range. Emily, it's comeback time.
Oh, by default, I get that point, but I'll take that point because at least it means I'm on the board now.
Have you ever worked with small banks, either as a customer or stock research?
I actually never have. I struggle with financials. They're such a unique beast, and it's been outside of my area of expertise. So
yeah.
I've unfortunately never, I guess, pushed myself to get out of my comfort zone there. But after this showing, I owe Butterfield at least one point, so I think I owe Butterfield another look.
And, you know, God bless them. I hope things are well for the Butterfields. Andy, it has been over 100 years now, and the market cap is just $1.5 billion.
Yeah, that's a long time, and it does cater very much to the Bermudian culture and the Bermudian lifestyle. So, or those who live in Bermuda and around there. So,
kind of a lender to small businesses. Is that sort of is that
yeah.
The
yeah individual yeah wealthy individuals?
Okay,
so yeah,
all right. We're at halftime. Andy Cross 4, Emily Flippin 1. I know this is part of our national championship, but we've cut bait, we've reduced costs, we have no halftime follies. Let's move on to stock number 6. Emily, if you were to name the 5th best known living CEO, the 5th best known living CEO, who would that be?
It's such an interesting question because they need to be a name that
slightly random as well.
That's familiar, but not too familiar. You know, the one that I'm sure this is inaccurate, but I think it's directionally correct. The one that's coming to mind most readily is Dan Ek, the founder and CEO of Spotify. Big enough company, consumer facing enough that maybe people are familiar with his name, but still not based in the United States, still small relative to more popular companies. So
I have to admit, I could not have named the CEO of Spotify. I assume you would have, Andy. Yeah. I'm a little bit out of the game right now, but he wouldn't have even been on my list. But
that's a bad sign then.
Not at all. But that means he's just off your Mount Rushmore, Emily, because I asked you the fifth. So in your mind, who are the four best-known living CEOs?
Well, there's no way to have this conversation without talking about Elon Musk, who I imagine is probably the number one most popular CEO, for better or for worse. So Elon Musk has to top my list. Buffett is something that, you know, I'm not sure if people still associate him with being a CEO so much as he is just a guru in general. But Berkshire Hathaway and Buffett have to also be on that Mount Rushmore. And then, you know, I'm thinking about current CEOs, Tim Cook over at Apple, or Satya Nadella, both probably rank up highly.
Sure. Well, and one of those CEOs is the CEO of company number six, a little company I like to call Tesla, ticker symbol TSLA. And Emily, you went right there, number one. That probably is true. This is not an objective question I was asking. This is a subjective read. But when I think about who is the best known living CEO in the world today, I think I agree that the answer is Elon Musk, and not just of one company, which is pretty fascinating when you think about that. Emily, more to the point, what is your stated market cap range for Tesla, ticker symbol TSLA?
One of the first times I was on the Market Cap Game Show with Aaron Bush, we talked about Tesla, and I remember at the time the market cap was somewhere around $68 billion, because I was really prepared for that show, and Aaron knew the market cap down to, you know, the 10 of the millions, and naturally beat me. Since then, Tesla has been an absolute beast. I know its market cap. It's one of the largest companies in the world today, so I'm going to hesitantly, but with strong conviction, at the same time, say that my estimate for the market cap of Tesla is $550 to $680 billion.
$550 billion to $680 billion. Andy, your body language is a little negative. It's ambiguous, but you right away kind of lowered your head, put your hand over your eyes. It looks like you're thinking deeply, but you're not smiling and right away coming up with an answer.
No, because, well, my answer is outside, but the high end of Emily's range threw me for a little bit of a loop. But I think it's a little bit higher than that, so I'm going to say outside of Emily's range.
If you agreed with Andy, you don't get a point, because Emily nailed it again. Tesla's market cap as we speak is $574.25 billion, certainly within Emily's range of 550 to 680. Mm-hmm. So Emily and Emily fans, give yourself a plus one. It's 4-2. You know, our Rule Breakers cost basis looks pretty sweet these days. We also have it in Stock Advisor and others. But just looking back, $2.10. Looking pretty great with the stock right up there, about 180. It's one of six 40-plus baggers that Motley Fool Rule Breakers has delivered to its fans over the years. And what a spectacular performer it's been. And yet, Emily, this stock is actually down almost a third of its value just in the first few months of this year.
Which I think gives context to Andy's guess, probably, that it was on the higher end there. I also thought that if my range was inaccurate, it was inaccurate because it was too low.
So it wasn't long ago that Tesla was above that $1 trillion.
Correct.
And so I think the last time I remember seeing it, it was in the 700 or 800. So I think, again, just thinking about this year, you're right. I just didn't put that all together. So well done, Emily.
Andy, one thing I really appreciate about Emily's performance in this game, and she does it every time that she comes on the shows, she really does articulate what's going on in her mind as she lays out her eventual guess. And Emily is good at sometimes head faking and playing psych games with other people too. And I don't know if that's been happening, but right now Emily is on her horse. You were up 4-0. You had to have been feeling very confident, maybe amazing. And now it's 4-2.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit that last Tesla one unnerved me a little bit. So I'm kind of feeling it because it's one of the largest companies that we follow.
Still,
it's a great performance, recommended in multiple services. So that one I feel like I should have known. So, and I'm now reflecting and thinking about her language, body posture, and so now I'm like all tied in knots and in loops, and so I gotta get my game face back here.
I just like that you use the word unnerved, which is definitely not used enough, and so thank you for bringing that this week to this podcast. By the way, what a huge winner it's been for Tom and Stock Advisor and across many different services. There are all kinds of different opinions about who Elon Musk is, what he is, what he's not, and I'm sure he has some grandiose notions of who he is or not as well, but I agree. He's probably the best-known CEO in the world, and now we all know the present market cap of Tesla, which if you're an investor, I think that's a good thing to know. All right, and now for something completely different. Andy, earlier you shared something personal. You told us how you get your taxes done. Are you ready to share again?
Always, David.
Thank you. Would you just share a bit about your sleep habits? Do you have any?
They're not great. So maybe I'll start there.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, it's just like, you know, young kids and a dog, and you know, the dog gets up and moves around in the room and has a lot of loyalty to my wife and Jamie, and so they're just, you know, kind of like right by the bed there, and so sometimes it's just, you know, a little bit of times it's just not the best sleep. So that's what I'm wrestling with right now.
I hope you win that wrestling
Thank
match.
Thank you.
Are you more of a night owl or more of an morning bird?
No, much more morning bird.
What about your mattress?
Well, I think we have, you know, I think we have.
Is this TMI?
No,
Are we oversharing at this point?
We have the Heavenly mattresses, which I think were in some hotel room that my wife liked very much and found it out, and she bought these mattresses. And I think my mattress is not my
problem.
My problem. No, I am the only morning bird in the family among a whole bunch of night owls. So that's even the young age of kids, they keep me up.
I travel a fair amount, not a crazy amount, but often when I stay in a nice hotel, I'm like, God, this mattress is amazing. These pillows, I should have this at home. So I do agree, maybe a little bit more the upscale hotel inspires us sometimes with the quality of the sleep you can get there, even though you're not in your regular haunt. So you don't really have much technology in your mattress.
No.
At home.
I do not.
Sleep Number, ticker symbol SNBR, has been, I'll just come out with it right now, a horrendously bad stock pick of mine. The month was February. The year was 2021. I'm not going to say how much it's down because I don't want to make the job easier for Andy and Emily and you at home right now. So we'll talk about that in a sec. But Andy, as you might guess, and maybe you will guess, I'm not sure, what is your stated market cap range for the company Sleep Number, ticker symbol SNBR, which, by the way, like 3M, is based in Minnesota, and like 3M, has been an underperformer. But I love Minnesota.
Boy, I haven't thought of Sleep Number in a long time. I will say between 400 million and 600 million.
400 million to 600 million. Emily Flippin, players at home, do you want to agree or disagree 400 million to 600 million?
Again, the safe thing for me is to just agree with Andy, but I've never been a safe player, and I know Sleep Number is down massively. So my instinct, I was thinking somewhere around the 300 million mark. So I'm going lower.
Score another for Flippin. It's 4-3. That was a good guess though, Andy. And you both are so good at this game. Even when you miss, you're just not missing by much at all. And you didn't miss by much at all on this one. But Sleep Number rocking the scales here at 352.06 million as we record this show. $352 million. And now back to how bad a stock pick this was by me. Yeah, 3 years ago, and now it's down almost 90%. Now, I admit, I'm not keeping tabs on Sleep Number. Our team is. Emily, I know you're connected into the Motley Fool Rule Breaker service a little bit, or that team. I know the company name comes up from time to time.
Yes, I'm embarrassed to say I'm not positive when I say this, but I'm pretty sure I'm a Sleep Number shareholder. The business, if memory serves correctly, got a bit of a pandemic bump. People were investing time and energy into their mattresses, and as such, it was on our team's radars.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that kind of proprietary nature of what they do and then the quality of their mattresses, while still, I'm sure, great quality, just didn't hold up, I think, in the face of stiffer competition, tighter budgets, and it has been an underperformer.
Don't they have, like, commercials with sports stars?
This company punches above its weight class when it comes to its brand and the marketing that it does, certainly. And, you know, it's kind of sad to think that COVID bump, which it surely did get, and it's come all the way back down from that, like a lot of the other so-called COVID stocks. But it's sort of sad to reflect on that because this company's been around for decades. This was Select Comfort that you'll remember from Hidden Gems days, perhaps, Andy, back in the day. And everybody kept talking about the Sleep Number of the bed, so the company just renamed itself Sleep Number. But things are not going great in Minneapolis, Minnesota right now for this company. I will mention that the stock was up about 40% in a single day 2 weeks ago. The company announced it had restructured its costs so that off the same revenue base as last year, this is not a growing company at present, so off roughly the same revenue base, the company announced it will be generating positive instead of negative free cash flow this year. So the market loved that for one day at least.
I just needed it to be up about 60% or maybe 70%. Then I would have been inside my 400 to 600 million.
You know, 352 million is a micro cap stock at this.
Yep.
And these do interest me, not because I like penny stocks, I don't, but especially when a company has a well-known brand. And in my mind, that's the numerator and the denominator is the market cap. When I see a higher ratio, like a company we all know, that has a very low market cap, that at least interests me. Anyway, good luck to the state of Minnesota, to a couple of underperforming Minnesotans. I like both companies. I wish you well. We're turning back to Emily now. She has gotten 3 points in a row. You are on fire.
Let's keep it going.
Let's do that. All right, Emily, for stock number 8, I thought I'd ask ChatGPT to explain what it does as if I were a 10-year-old. Emily, here we go. All right, imagine you want to build a really cool sandcastle. But instead of going to the beach, you can do it right from your computer. This company creates a huge online beach where people can create and build their own websites, apps, or any computer project they dream up. Just like you need a space on the beach for your sandcastle, people need space on the internet for their projects. This company gives them that space, but there's more. You know how some sandcastles have special parts? Like a moat or a tower. This company also gives people tools to make their websites or apps better, like making them faster or more secure, so no one can knock them over. It's like having all the best buckets and shovels to make your sandcastle awesome. So, in short, this company helps people put their cool ideas on the internet by giving them a place and the tools they need to build them. Like we were 10 years old. That helped me. That helped me understand the business of DigitalOcean, ticker symbol DOC. And now there are other SaaS companies, software as a service companies, that you probably could use a similar description. Thank you, ChatGPT, for speaking to me like I'm 10 years old, which actually in a lot of ways I still am. So this is probably not the only sandcastle, awesome sandcastle on the internet company that exists, but this is the one we're talking about. And DigitalOcean's ticker symbol is DOC. And it's been picked by a bunch of Motley Fool services. I'm quite sure one of you knows more than I do about DigitalOcean, which, by the way, is a camel case name. Now, not everybody knows what camel case is. Let's break that down really quickly while Emily thinks about her market cap. We all know uppercase, and we all know lowercase. But camel case, think of iPod. Think of DigitalOcean. When they smush together two words but leave that second word capitalized, creating like a hump in the middle of that word, and that is called camel case, and DigitalOcean is one such example. Again, ticker symbol DOCN. Emily, what is your stated market cap range for DigitalOcean?
I'm going to go $1.1 billion to $3.8
billion. $1.1 billion to $3.8 billion. You know, I think part of the reason ChatGPT went with the sandcastles was for the beach theme, which connects with the ocean. I think that's ChatGPT didn't call that out, but I think that was the AI, that was the intelligence that was laced into what I got to share with the world as we describe Digital Ocean for a 10-year-old.
And the robots are getting smarter.
Speaking of getting smarter, Andy, make us smarter. Do you want to agree with Emily's range of 1.1 billion to 3.8 billion and listeners at home, or do you want to disagree?
Well, David, that's a pretty high bar when you're asking me to make us smarter around almost anything. I'm going to agree with Emily. At first, I wasn't, but I think she's right. I think DigitalOcean is within that range.
And in some ways, Emily deserves credit. Like, she's smiling right now. Like, she made a good call. Is it wrong that this game show gives Andy the point instead of... But that's how we've always played it. This is the 27th Market Cap game show played over the months and years. What a delight it's been so far to share this with you both. And Andy, you have just taken a 5-3 lead because the market cap for DigitalOcean is $3.37 billion. Emily, you've pretty much had it nailed.
I was actually very hesitant because I know the business has been on a pretty strong downward trajectory. And yeah. So I was tempted to go higher, but I wanted to have that downside a little bit wider because I wasn't overly confident. I mean, that's a type of business that could have easily been off 40% in the last month because that's how volatile it's been historically.
And that was a fairly wide range at that level from one to three. And that's what kind of threw me off a little.
Apologies.
But then I was like, you know, I think it's in the three range.
I think you only hurt yourself with that, Emily. You don't have to apologize to Andy. You helped Andy by giving him a wide range.
Thank you, Emily.
He could just say, yeah, I'll agree. Get a point, apparently. Which he did. 5, Andy 3, Emily. Yeah, this stock hit a low of 20 in November. It had been more than cut in half since August, so just over those 3 months, because the founding CEO stepped down and there was an announcement we need to find a new CEO. Generally not great news for shareholders. But since then, DigitalOcean has bounced back from $20 to $37 a share, which is where the stock is today, having now nearly doubled over the past quarter, up to a market cap, again, of $3.37 billion. Well, good luck, sandcastle building. By the way, side note before we go to company number 9, has either of you ever been part of, like, a team that built, like, an amazing sandcastle on a beach anywhere at any time?
No, Texas problems, right? I was very rarely on beaches.
No, creativity problems with me, so...
I can't claim either excuse. I'm not awesome either, so yeah. But I sometimes walk past teams that are actively building this amazing thing, or the lonely moribund sandcastle that's still standing. Sometimes a beautiful sandcastle, it's just sort of a gift to the other people on the beach.
Yeah, it's kind of like beautiful snow sculptures, snow people, snow families out there.
Yeah.
I can't do any of that. I admire those who can. So yeah. Those of you out there who are super creative, thank you very much.
Yeah, we befriend those people.
Yes,
that's the closest
I
we can get to that art. Andy, let me try out a marketing tagline on you as we start stock number 9. Emily's going to need both of these points to tie the game. And there is a tiebreaker because this is our final four. This is the semifinals for the national championship. So yeah, there'll be a tiebreaker if we need one. But first, Andy, let me try out a marketing tagline on you. You ready?
Sure.
All right, good. So you're going to rate this one 0 to 10, where 10 is perfect, and 0 is the worst marketing tagline you've ever heard. Here we go. No offense, but we do operations better than you do.
This actually sounds like it could be a real one.
This is real.
This is real.
I thought you were stock number nine.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
This is right off
the
website.
I don't know the company that has this as a motto, but I actually like it. And so I will rate that I'll give that a 7.
A 7. Emily, higher or lower, this is not going to be scored in the game.
It's your bonus points.
I have to go higher. I think it's cheeky. I like it.
All right. And I like the word cheeky, which joins unnerved for some of the beautiful diction that we're rocking this week on Rule Breaker Investing. I mean, we bring out our best for national championships. So as March market cap madness continues, I'll let you know first that this company goes on from that cheeky tagline to say on their website, we're not fund managers or custodians. We're not a bank. We don't compete with our customers. Investment operations is all we do. And we do all of it. Technology, servicing, expertise. For every investment business, portfolio, strategy, asset class, and tax regime. SS&C Technologies Holdings is, speaking of holding, a 10-year holding for Motley Fool Rule Breakers. Now, this is not a company that has a lot of buzz. In fact, I'm looking at you both, and I think you're looking askance going, what company is this and who are they? And why don't I know this company? Because we're an investment company. You'd think maybe we should be using SS&C Technologies Holdings services. I don't think that we are. But I agree. I like the tagline. I like the cheeky. And I thought it's really well written what's below that. We're not fund managers or custodians. We're not a bank. We don't compete with our customers, dot, dot, dot. By the way, as Andy prepares his market cap guess for SS&C Technologies Holdings, that's a mouthful, ticker symbol SSNC, I will mention that they've basically turned the ampersand in their company name into their logo. Check it. That's also kind of cheeky. Andy, speaking of cheeky, what is your market cap game show guess for the market cap range for SSNC Technologies Holdings?
Oh, boy, this one, I know only by the ticker, but having never really studied it. So I will say, Emily, between $27 billion and $38 billion.
I love that you said you know it only by the ticker. Are you one of those guys who walks around just kind of like with tickers in your head, Andy, and you're like talking tickers? And
well, just because so many of our scorecards, just we have the tickers
right
there. So just going through our services and our sites, you just see some tickers. And I think this actually is a Rule Breaker recommendation that was had a previous name that changed its name to SSNC. But I could be wrong, or through an acquisition.
Maybe. Maybe they added holdings, but I picked it on November 25th of 2014. I think it had that name.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. Okay. I do not have a highly reliable memory around rather obscure companies that I picked 10 years ago. Okay, Emily. Andy said $27 billion to $38 billion, the market cap for SSNC, just rocking the ticker symbol. Do you want to agree or disagree?
I'm saying a little prayer that I'm right here because I want to keep this game competitive and I need to get this point to do so. This is a coin flip to me. And I am somewhat unnerved by what I perceive to be a fairly narrow range for a company that Andy claims to have very little knowledge about.
He said he just knows the ticker symbol, and then he threw out a market cap range.
But, you know, just thinking logically about the medley of options for market cap, I have to go outside of Andy's very narrow range.
Emily gets her fourth point and makes it dramatic as we move to stock number 10 because SS&C is a smaller company than we were thinking. Its market cap is $15.42 billion. Not off that much, but almost kind of twice what this company is. And I've often pointed out on this show, and I'll do it here once again, cue Dave's brief rant about when you thought the market cap was much higher, maybe add that one to your watch list. Because anytime any of us is looking and coming going, yeah, I think it's probably like $100 billion, and you find it's only $50 billion, that probably implies to you that they should be bigger, and maybe they're on the way to getting bigger. Hasn't necessarily worked for Sleep Number, but maybe it will for SS&C Technologies Holdings. More important for this show, it is now Andy 5, Emily 4, as we all hone in. We zoom in together on stock number 10. By the way, before we go there, I want to mention SS&C is up 150% over the last 10 years. The S&P 500 is up exactly that much over the last 10 years. So this stock has, it's a dead heat. It's just tracked the market now. It used to be higher, so it's given away. It's consistently been beating the market over the last 10 years, except for now, where it's right about market performer. Okay, on to stock number 10. Emily, we talked about this a little bit earlier. We're going to do it a little bit more now. I feel like I'm the only one who hasn't watched Survivor. Not just your season, but any season. I've still never watched the show. Andy, what about you?
I told Emily this, and I said I was sorry, but I haven't watched it since the very early days when we used to have watch parties here in the office.
Ah. Well, and I just don't watch much network TV, but a lot of people do. And these days, people come up to Emily and ask for her autograph, and that's like our own employees. Like when we have a all-employee, all-hands gathering, Emily's giving out autographs and the power of not just a well-known show, but a well-played game by Emily Flippin on a well-known show. I do know some of the gamesmanship involved. I know that's part of it, Emily. I know you're a great gamer. So even though I've literally never watched a single episode of Survivor, and I really should because I'd love to see you out there. And I already kind of know what happened, so maybe that's why I didn't watch. You told me early on, but I couldn't tell anybody else because that's how it is, and I never did. But people are sometimes, I don't know, eavesdropping on conversations, or there's deception and misdirection and secret conversations. And company number 10, Emily, was once called by Bloomberg, quote, the world's most profitable spy organization, end quote. Does that sound interesting to you, by the way?
It does, and I know exactly what company you're talking about.
That's impressive. You know, they're not far from Fool HQ here in Alexandria, Virginia. This company's headquarters are within 10 miles of us. So you have a sense of which company we're talking about.
I do, and I am concerned because while I may know the company, despite its secrecy, I have never actually looked at it from an investor's perspective. I have never been interested enough to dig deeper into the company, in part because its business has turned me off a little bit. And as a result, I am extremely
ill-equipped for this important stock that we're picking where you have to get it right. Actually, we need Andy to get it wrong. So I think some will know which company we're talking about, but we're being a little secretive because it's thematic with this company. You know, the reason that Bloomberg said that about 20 years ago about this company is because there are lots of former intelligence officers on its staff as it provides consulting to the public and private sector. This is a larger, well-known consulting company based in McLean, Virginia. It's Booz Allen Hamilton Holding Corp. Booz Allen. Now, as soon as I said that, Andy, your eyebrows went up. Why would that be?
Because I think it's that is not the company that either Emily or I were thinking.
Okay. And some of our talented listeners were thinking of the right one. But what one? What were you guys thinking?
Palantir.
Yes, I was thinking Palantir. Then I thought, wait, Palantir is headquartered here? I did not.
I had the same reaction.
I'm pretty sure Palantir is headquartered in the Washington, D.C. area. But we're talking about a much older company, one that's been around a long time. Many people just call it Booz Allen. There used to be a Fry in there somewhere. And Hamilton rarely gets referred to, even though Hamilton was a co-founder as well. This company's been around since, I see here, 1914. So we're talking about a company that is like N.T. Butterfield & Son Limited, has been around for more than a century at this point. Now, discerning listeners are already anticipating this. You both may have forgotten or not. There are two of these per show, friends. And we've only had one, so by a process of elimination, you know that stock number 10 is a throwdown. Yep, the stock is Booz Allen Hamilton Holding Corp. Emily and Andy both have their pencils scratching away at the index cards, the yellow index cards that Andy brought in, kindly thinking and remembering for us that we need to have those to do this show well. So they're scratching out some numbers, thinking about Booz Allen Hamilton Holding Corp. And a reminder to you, player at home, two reminders. The first is, Emily needs this one. That would create a tiebreaker moment for our final four. Could things be much more exciting for this market cap game show? So reminder number one, Emily needs this desperately. Reminder number two, all you need to do is simply agree with the person who had the better, tighter, accurate range for their market cap. That's how throwdown works. Emily, your pencil is down. Yours is too as well, Andy. I'm going to turn to you first, Emily. What is the best you can imagine for the tightest, most accurate market cap range for Booz Allen Hamilton Holding Corp, by the way, ticker symbol BAH, you know, as in bah.
And bah is very much how I'm feeling right now because I think I was more confident in Palantir than I was Booz Allen Hamilton. I'm afraid that my range is too small. I know the market cap of Accenture is inching up near $200 billion. But I don't think Booz Allen is quite as large. In fact, I think it's significantly smaller. So my market cap is $48 to $69 billion.
$48 billion to $69 billion. Andy Cross, what do you got for us for bah?
Wow, I am so much smaller. I am at $13 to $18 billion in market cap.
The market cap for Booz Allen Hamilton Holding Corp, the world's most profitable spy organization, is $19.28 billion. Andy Cross, you win that one going away. You said $13 to $18 billion. Very close. You are our chief investment officer, after all. I'm glad that you were within $1 billion with your range of the actual market cap for this longstanding company, one that I hear about, maybe because I'm in the D.C. area, so it pops up. I mean, they have offices around the world. This is a significant consulting company, but not quite as significant as Emily thought, and not anywhere close to Accenture, as you said, Emily.
Yeah, I think the reference point there was maybe throwing me off. And if I was wrong, I was convinced I was too small. So maybe to take some of your advice, I need to take a second look at Booz Allen and figure out, is it going the way of Accenture?
Yeah, so much. I think it's one of those businesses that most of its business is tied to the U.S. government. So it's one of those consistent, the checks, as long as the government continues to pay itself, which obviously I guess is kind of some question these days, but Booz Allen has a long runway of business ahead of it.
Well, we have our first finalist, Andy Cross, by a score of 6-4. You have gotten it done today for the Market Cap Game Show. Are you feeling a little bit madder than when you first walked in the offices today?
I do have to say the Tesla one is still sticky and it's still itching me a little bit because that's one that I shouldn't have gotten, and I was very happy to pull that out at the end because Emily has certainly made it very challenging.
Emily, any closing thoughts from you?
Well, I always like to think to myself, if I'm going to lose, I would like to lose respectably. I would like to, you know, make it competitive. And the way that this show started off, I was very afraid this was about to be the most uninteresting Market Cap Game Show that you've taped in a long time, David. But I'm happy that not only that I lost to somebody who is obviously so talented, our chief investment officer here, but also that I did so in a somewhat competitive manner.
Absolutely. In fact, you won 4 of the last 6, Emily. So you had all the momentum. Except that lat just right there at the finish line. Andy, congratulations. The final accounting again, Andy 6, Emily 4. But Andy and Emily and I know that we're not playing this game for each other. We're playing for you. So how did you score? Dear fools, dear listener at home, we hope you outscored all of us. The purpose of the Market Cap Game Show is to make more popular. Now, I'm never going to say as popular as Jeopardy or Survivor, but to make more popular market caps, the real value of stocks on the market that most people don't understand, except that you do understand because you just listened to us for an hour, and I hope you scored at least a few points this week and maybe beat one or both of our competitors. Andy and Emily, you both distinguish yourselves and help make the world a bit smarter, happier, and richer this week. Andy, a parting line from you.
Well, this is obviously so much fun, and it's the beauty of all of this is, as we mentioned earlier, there's so many different ways to look at different companies, and this is one metric in market cap. But it is a good litmus test when you think about just understanding some businesses and having some, as Emily said earlier, that context is so important because businesses A to Z, all different kinds of market cap. And then you have just different thoughts about how it works into your portfolio. So it's always fun to do this. I do have to say, I'm almost more nervous like when I come in to do this show here than almost anything I think I do of the year. It's just, it does bring a little bit of, I said I was unnerved, and it still kind of feels a little bit unnervy to come in here and compete against a lot
of people. You are both very brave, to be clear, and you're both very good. Emily, any parting thought from you?
I am very much looking forward to the next Market Cap Game Show. In a couple of weeks, I believe, is when Andy will be competing. I now have to root for you, Andy, because as the person who beat me, you are now our champion, my champion, moving forward.
Thank you for that. And indeed, we will have a Market Cap Game Show next week because the other half of the Final Four pits Bill Mann against the OG of the Market Cap Game Show, Matty Argusinger. And so Bill and Matt will be in front of the microphones for all of us next week. I hope you'll join us too, dear listener. Remember, you're scoring right along with us, and I'd love to hear your total after we do 3 straight Market Cap Game Shows this month, including, as Emily mentioned, 2 weeks from today, the finals for the national championship. For Andy Cross and Emily Flippin, I'm David Gardner. Thanks for joining us this week. Fool on.
As always, people on this program may have interest in the stocks they talk about, and the Motley Fool may have formal recommendations for or against. So don't buy or sell stocks based solely on what you hear. Learn more about Rule Breaker Investing at rbi.fool.com.